And the thing is, after all these years, I still look back with wonder.
Hey, Wonderlings, this is Angela Bowen, the host of Looking Back on My Wonder Years, a Wonder Years podcast. How's everyone doing today? Well, today's a special day. It's wedding day! That's right. Karen and Michael's big day has finally arrived in Season 5, Episode 22, entitled The Wedding, which aired on April 29th, 1992. The IMDb synopsis says, with their wedding day approaching, Karen and Michael decide to forego a traditional church ceremony in favor of a small outdoor ceremony with family and friends. Kevin sees a potential disaster after the wedding when he finds out that Karen and Michael are planning to move to Alaska and have yet to tell his mom and dad. Well, I wouldn't exactly call that a disaster. No, sometimes when people get married, they don't always stay in the same city, or the same state. You know, jobs may take them in different directions, and we're going to learn that here. This episode was directed by Peter Baldwin and written by the creators Neil Marlins and Carol Black, and also by Mark B. Perry. This episode has an 8.3 out of 10 based on 119 ratings. That's an IMDb rating. We have some trivia here. The van that Karen and Michael drive is a Ford, is it Econoline? From the early to mid-1960s. All right. The wedding song is, and it says in parentheses, "There is love." This was written and performed by N. Paul Stooke, S-T-O-O-K-E. All right, now I'm looking at the booklet, and the booklet's description of this episode goes, Karen's wedding plans cause problems when she and Michael decide they want a non-traditional wedding. Featured songs in this episode, You Can All Join In by Traffic, and, of course, the song I mentioned, wedding song, There Is Love by Paul Stooke. And I'd like to read Michael and Karen's vows. When there is one pain, one joy, one coming together for all our lives, one dream of tomorrow, it is more than love. It is life, one being together. All right, so let's start with the opening quote for the episode, and we'll jump right in here. All right, narrator. In 1972, the me decade was dawning, and people everywhere were doing their own thing, letting it all hang out, and setting out to find themselves. The world was changing, and my family was right in the middle of it. So we open up the episode with a montage of, it looks like type of free love movement from Woodstock and stuff like that, and just people, like, in a field, like, swinging around, waving their arms in the air, all loosey-goosey looking. Yeah, still with the hippie movement and everything like that. And we get to see the van that Michael and Karen are driving, and it's cool looking. Kind of. I mean, it's a yellow van, and it's got, like, where the headlights are, it's got, like, eyeballs with, like, eyelashes, and then it's got, towards the grill area, it's got, like, lips, a mouth with lips and teeth. Like, that is kind of interesting, but it's kind of creepy at the same time. Now we're inside the van, and in front of the back seat where Jack and Norma and Kevin are sitting together, they have beads, like a divider kind of hanging with beads and everything. And Karen turns around and asks her mom, like, oh, what do you think? Like, I'm sure she's probably going to say, oh, it's really festive, honey, or something like that. Oh, so, you know, Norma says it looks nice and everything. And Karen's kind of saying how Michael got a really good deal for it. He's going to paint it and fix it up. Oh, okay. So they didn't paint that face on it. Someone else painted the face on it. All right. Oh, there's Wayne, because Wayne pops up in the very back seat, and he's like, whatever you do, don't get rid of the mattress back here. Like, oh my gosh. Wayne, I'm going to play this clip. This is funny.
What do you think? Nice, honey. Yeah, you got a real deal on it. Michael's going to paint it and fix it up. Aren't you, Michael?
Yeah, sure.
Well, whatever you do, don't get rid of the mattress back here.
Face it, the Arnold family was undergoing a radical shift.
Everybody comfortable?
We were in a period of readjustment, a state of flux. After all, after 12 months of turmoil, we were back together again. There was, of course, a reason.
So the van stops and stops right outside a church, and we meet the pastor, and I'm kind of guessing that Michael and Karen are kind of just going along with this just to make Norma and Jack happy, because I guess Jack and Norma, you know, they were probably married in a church, it's a traditional way, but I don't believe that that's what Karen and Michael would want. So everyone's, you know, kind of happy there, but then when the pastor says, it's always nice to bring together a man and a wife, and right away, Karen latches onto that, and she's like, you mean man and woman, and he's like, oh, yes, of course. And Jack and Norma kind of look at Karen like, oh, here we go. They had to know that Karen, mainly Karen, is not going to want this. She's got her own beliefs and how she sees things. So, yeah. Wayne, what time is this in the morning? Because poor Wayne is falling asleep. Poor Wayne, really? He's just his obnoxious self. I mean, it's probably early in the morning. But Kevin and he are sitting in the pews. Kevin's elbowing Wayne like, Wayne, knock it off. Stop yawning. So I'm going to play this clip.
There was, of course, a reason.
A lovely bride and groom to be.
My sister was getting married. At last.
Always pleased to bring together a man and wife.
You mean man and woman?
Well, of course.
Not that it was going to be simple. When it came to my family, nothing ever was.
So, what kind of ceremony do we have in mind?
Well, we haven't really talked about it, but we thought something simple, but traditional.
You did?
You know, something with flowers and music and hymns. Not too formal, but kind of elegant.
Of course, the whole thing was still in the planning stages.
Mom, Michael and I were actually thinking of something a little less. Well, that's okay, honey. Whatever you want. Good. We don't have to have the hymns.
Excellent. Now, when shall we schedule our premarital counseling sessions?
So, the pastor is kind of directing the question to Karen and Michael, like, what kind of ceremony do they want and everything. And Karen's like, well, we haven't really talked about. Immediately, Norma jumps in and is like, well, we want, you know, a traditional wedding, but not too traditional. We'd like, you know, like, a service and hymns and flowers and everything. So, of course, typical mother of the bride is going to want to take over and make decisions. It's like, Norma, I know you're trying to be helpful and everything, and she's like, well, I guess we don't have to have the hymns. Even though we don't see them go to church, and I know Norma did go to church to say a prayer for the astronauts during Apollo 13, but I don't know, I mean, why does everyone think, like, it's gotta be a church wedding, otherwise it's not gonna be right in the eyes of God? It's like, you know what? I think that's ridiculous. I really think that's ridiculous. As far as I'm concerned, you could get married anywhere. And as long as you have a pastor there to officiate it or a clergyman or whatever, then it should be fine. I just think that's ridiculous. That's like saying only babies that are baptized are going to be going to heaven and all the ones are going to limbo. Like, come on. Everyone has their own beliefs, fine, but don't crap on other people's because they don't get married in a church. Not to mention, I had originally thought about getting married in a church, and my grandma said, well, you have to be a member of that congregation to be able to do that. Yeah. So that's why we got married in my dad's back. My husband and I got married in my dad's backyard. So the one thing that sets Karen off is when the pastor brings up premarital counseling. And I didn't know that thing started that early, like when they started doing premarital counseling in 72. I mean, Jeremy and I had to do that. And because we lived together, the pastor said, I can only marry you only if you abstain from any premarital, you know, what have you, and everything. So, we abstained for, the, you know, 6 or 7 months. Ugh. Let me tell you, that was really hard to try to get back into things once we were married again. It's like, I think that really kind of put a hitch in things. But anyway, we're not talking about that. So, yeah. Karen is like, premarital counseling? What is this, a Stone Age? It's like, no, this is kind of the new age, I guess. They just want to make sure that before you sit down, or before you get married, that you kind of sit down and get to know. I mean, yes, they are living together, so they do know each other, but there are certain aspects that they, you know, guy, the pastor just wants to make sure both of you are on the same page when it comes to certain things. You know, when it comes to money, money is the biggest thing that I think couples will fight about in a marriage is going to be the finances. Because both of your finances are coming together. Unless you want to have your own separate account, then that could probably even be cause for another argument. I don't know.
Classic case of apples and oranges.
What? Maybe we can find another church.
Mom, you don't understand. I don't want my wedding in some musty old chapel.
Well, then how about something Unitarian?
Trouble was, the oranges seemed to be winning.
I don't believe this. But honey,
Mom.
Mr. Arnold, do you think you could... Don't ask me. I just paid a bill. This is going great so far, don't you think?
I know what you mean. You want me to talk to him?
No. It doesn't make sense. Why can't we just get married and go on with our lives?
Yeah.
But even I knew enough about weddings to know they weren't about getting married.
So the guys all kind of hang back as Karen and Norma kind of go on. And Karen's like, I don't want to get married in a musty old church. And then Norma brings up Unitarian. It's not the type of church. It's just the idea of a church. They just want something simple. Which is, Michael kind of brings up to, like, Mr. Arnold, like, hey, do you think you could? And Jack's like, no. I just paid the bills. I'm not getting in the middle of all that. So Jack kind of walks off, and Kevin and Michael are there, and I like the relationship between Kevin and Michael. It just, you know, Michael's just saying, hey, I just want a simple wedding. Why does it gotta be, you know, all we want to do is get married and get on with our lives. Why does it gotta be this big, you know, presentation and everything? They don't want a lot of flair. They want something simple. And they want it to be what they want it to be, not what's expected of them. So Kevin offers, like, hey, you want me to go talk to him? I can do that for you. And now we get Kevin trying on his tux. It's really, it's nice. I like the silver and black striped tie. So I want to play this clip as they're all, Kevin's complaining, like, I look like a monkey. And Wayne's like, well, you look like a monkey. No, Kevin said, I feel like a monkey. And Wayne's like, well, you look like a monkey. And they're kind of like, all right. And Jack is over there kind of fixing his tie. They're all fixing their ties. He's like, just do this for your sister, damn it. It'll make her happy. It'll make your mother happy. It'll make me happy. Please. Really, guys, the less headaches, the better. Weddings are, like, probably one of the most stressful times a girl's ever going to go through in her life is having to deal with her wedding and everything that comes with it. Before Jeremy and I got married, you know that show Bridezillas? I was working at the video store, and they had, like, some episodes of Bridezilla on. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I can get into that.
They were more about...
I feel like a monkey.
Making total fools of ourselves.
You look like a monkey.
In public.
Just do this for your sister. It'll make her happy.
So, Kevin's just saying how Karen looks so miserable. And she does. Because now we're back at the house. She's trying on a wedding dress. It's Norma's wedding dress. Isn't that always the thing with their mothers? Like, oh, you can wear my wedding dress. Why? No! And poor Karen is just... She looks like she's ready to just, like, either run out of there or burst into tears or both. And the guys are all sitting at the table, you know, Jack and Kevin and Wayne. And Norma's like, oh, Jack, what do you think? And, of course, as Jack's like, oh, Wayne cuts in like, oh, don't ask him. He just pays the bills. Like, yes, he does. And then that's when Michael walks in the door, and Norma's like, oh my gosh, Michael, you can't be in here. You can't see the bride before the wedding. And Karen's like, Mom, please, he's seen me naked, okay? Oh, yeah, that's the thing you say in front of your dad. Oh, Dad, by the way, yeah, the boyfriend and fiance I've been living with, of course, has seen me naked, so it's not a big deal. I'm surprised she didn't make a big deal about wearing white. Like, I can't wear white. I'm not a virgin. Because we know she's not a virgin. Virgin. I think I said it right. I mean, if he's seen her naked, they've had sex. So after hearing that, Michael just sits down at the table with the guys, and Jack is just kind of glowering. Like, I know, Jack, you didn't want to hear that. So Kevin kind of breaks the ice, like, hey, what's going on with the house? And Michael says, well, I got someone coming to look at it. So basically they're looking to, you know, get rid of the house. And that surprises Jack. Like, well, what are you going to do? Where are you going to live? And Norma's like, oh, hey, what about a job? Jack, can you get him in at Norcom? And Michael's like, what? No. And even the idea of like, oh, maybe they can come and stay with us for a bit. Karen blows her top. She's like, no, I don't want any of this. I don't want this dress. Why can't you let us get married how we want to get married? And they leave. Bridezilla. But no, she did not go full Bridezilla. She really didn't. Not even on the scale at all, I don't think. She'd had enough. She tried to play nice with the dress and everything like that. She could have just been honest instead of letting it explode. But it's like, it's stress. It's wedding. Stress and wedding planning go hand in hand. Especially when you're dealing with your parents. You won't believe how much it cost in stamps to send out invites. Oh my gosh. And that was 11 years ago. So Michael and Karen decided, like, okay, we need to go. This has been enough for today. This is about as much as I can handle.
The trouble was, the more we all made Karen happy, the more miserable she looked.
There. Done. It's beautiful, don't you think? It's gorgeous, Mom. It's also yours. What do you think, Jack?
Well... Don't ask him. He just pays the bills. And there you had it. Between Dad's wallet and Mom's good intentions.
Now let's try the veil.
Things were getting a tad out of hand.
Michael! You're not supposed to see the bride in her wedding dress. Mom, he's seen me naked.
finished up the carpentry work, so the owner's gonna try and sell it.
You mean you gotta move out? What are you gonna do for a job?
Well, I've been looking around for other work. In fact, we've been meaning to...
Michael!
That was pretty clear something was up here. Something big.
Why haven't you told us?
And as usual, Mom nailed it.
Well...
Because if you two need a place to stay, you can stay with us.
Uh-oh.
Jack, maybe you could check for openings at Norcom.
What?
And that's when the lid blew off.
Mother, no! I can't do this! I can't wear this dress, and I can't have this kind of wedding. We have to do it our own way. Can't you understand that?
And finally, the truth had been told.
This isn't what you want?
And with that, the great Arnold prenuptial crisis of 1972. Into history.
So I want to play this clip with Kevin and Michael. I could not for the life of me tell what Kevin was saying at first as he hands Michael this plate with aluminum foil over the top of some, you know, food to go and stuff. And he's like, wow, this has been blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what? I had to rewind it like 3 times. I still can't tell what he's saying. And I guess they are thinking about just having the wedding at the house? Not Norma and Jack's house, but the place they're staying at? Just something simple? But I thought they get married outside. We'll get to it. So I'm going to play this clip. As Michael's kind of looking on, waiting for Karen. She's still gabbing with Jack and Norma. It seems okay. I mean, because like, hey, Karen, you ready? And she kind of sticks her finger up, like, just give me a moment here. And it's just, they're not screaming at each other. They're not yelling. She's not, you know, stomping her feet and marching off defiantly or anything.
This is the arena.
Well, I mean, making your own plans. Have any wedding at your house at all?
Heck, seemed to me the lines of communication had been firmly reestablished.
Karen, you ready?
I'll be right there.
In fact, the only one who didn't seem convinced was the groom-to-be.
Michael, you okay?
Can you keep a secret?
Well, yeah.
I got a job.
Well, that's great.
And it was. At least I thought it was.
It's just one thing. It's in Alaska.
Alaska?
Okay, Michael. I'm ready.
I can. Yeah.
Ready?
And right about then, I knew for sure what I should have guessed all along. We weren't gaining an in-law.
Bye.
We were losing a family.
So Kevin kind of takes notice that, well, Michael doesn't look all that, he's not really jazzed. He's not... he looks like he's a little unsure. And Michael says, can you keep a secret? And Kevin's like, yeah, sure. Michael tells him, well, I got a job. And Kevin's like, that's great. But Michael is like, well, there's just one thing. It's in Alaska. And Kevin's like, Alaska? And then with that, Karen comes up, she gets in the car, says goodbye to Kevin, you know, they wave, and they drive off. I notice the van is beautiful red, it's been repainted. At first, I'm like, are they driving a different van? I'm like, oh no, they did get it painted, looks beautiful. And Kevin just like, thinking to themselves, like, we're not really gaining an in-law so much as losing a member of our family now. It's like, it sucks. It really, really sucks to have a family member that's been kind of close. See, even though she didn't live in their house anymore, she was probably, what, an hour or so away? So at least she was still in the same state. Alaska, that's not something you can get in a car and just drive to. You have to take a plane to get there. But, you know, that's just the thing. It's like when you get married, you don't know what's going to happen. Your spouse or yourself, you know, a job could take you out of the city, out of the state. It just really depends. And sometimes that's when the bonds of family are really, really tested, and keeping lines of communication open is when you're not seeing each other on a regular basis. Like, instead of being a car ride away, you're a phone call away, or a letter away, or plane ride away, or something. So, yeah, it'll be an adjustment, and Kevin's kind of, you know, got to sit on this for a bit, because, you know, he doesn't want to break the news to the family. You know, they got to, you know, main focus is on the wedding right now. Alright, the following weekend, the family is heading up to the wedding, and we're in the car. Norm is telling Jack, like, you know, maybe it's good that Karen's having the kind of wedding she wants. Well, of course it is! Nobody wants to go through a wedding and not have it be what they want it to be. Having someone else making all their decisions for it. It's like, a wedding is a big, big deal. That's something you're going to remember for, like, ever. You know, it's your day. You should be able to make the decisions you want to make and have it be how you want it to be. So I'm going to play this clip.
The next weekend, we set off for the first marriage in my family's brief history.
You know, Jack, maybe it's better that Karen's having the kind of wedding she really wants.
I think so. Little did my parents know their only daughter was about to be whisked away to an igloo in the land of the midnight sun.
You have a check, honey?
Right here.
Check? What check?
For Karen and Michael. Little wedding gift.
How much is it?
Never mind. It's for a down payment when they find a house.
But as much as I wanted to stay out of this, I knew somebody had to break the news.
Mom, Dad, listen.
Yeah?
About Karen and Michael.
What about them?
Great gift.
Just didn't seem like my place to tell them.
So, Norman's like, oh, did you remember the check? And Jack's like, yep, got it right here. So he kind of pats his suit pocket. And, of course, Wayne's got a body and like, check? What check? For how much? It's like, Wayne, that's not your business. And it's a wedding gift. You know, a down payment on when Michael and Karen get a place. And of course, Kevin wants to say something. But it's like, finally he's just like, oh, Dad, that's a great idea for a wedding gift. That's awesome. And really, in his mind, he's like, it's not my place to say anything. And it really isn't. Let them say something to them. That is them that just don't, you know, don't ruin the cell, you know. That's just going to put everyone in a sour mood. If you're like, oh, by the way, they're going to be moving to Alaska. It's like, no, let's just focus on the wedding. So they get to the house and they're kind of knocking on the door and Jack's like, oh, I hope this is legal. As far as, you know, getting married inside a house. And Norma's like, don't worry, they got an ordained minister or an ordained clergyman, it's fine.
And so, we arrived.
Well, this is it?
I just hope this whole thing is legal.
Don't worry, honey. Karen said she found an ordained minister.
Yeah.
Welcome, welcome to the happiness and joy that was and is to be. Yes?
Yes. Your aura is one of paternal love. It is a very strong vibration.
Clearly, we were in new territory. territory here.
Tell him, mother. So like trembling strings of the loom. Brotherly love. Positive, supportive vibrations. Very good.
Yeah.
Put it this way.
These are my friends, Rainbow and Wind. My family.
We were kind of like strangers in a strange land.
It's nice to meet you, Wind.
No, no, I'm Rainbow. This is Wind. Oh, yeah? And this is Butthead.
So the door opens, and we have, like, is he, like, a guru? I'm not sure. Maybe... I'm not sure what to call the guy, but he's doing his, like, the aura and stuff. He's going, you know, from Jack to Norma and to Kevin, and when he gets to Wayne, you know, everyone else is good, like, oh, your aura is very, very strong, and, Norma, like, oh, you're the mother and whatever. Anyway. Gets to Wayne. I gotta say, what did he say to Wayne? It was funny how Jack was just like, who is this guy? What is this? His eyes are almost bugging out. He does not know what to make of this man. So the guy goes to Kevin and he says, broccoli love? What? Broccoli love? What does that mean? And Kevin's like, oh, great. Positive, supportive vibrations is what he's getting off of Kevin's aura reading. So he gets to Wayne, and he just, the guy's, and Wayne is like kind of leaning in like, oh, what wisdom are you going to impart on me? And we hear these cymbals crash. You can't really hear. He says, nice something or other. And then he walks away. Like he was like just surprised. He's like, yeah, his eyes were closed, and then all of a sudden it's like his aura, something is blocked, because he opens his eyes like, oh, a nice shirt or something, and walks away. So now we get to meet Karen and Michael's friends, Rainbow and Wind, and Norma's like, oh, nice to meet you, Wind. And he's like, no, I'm Rainbow, this is Wind, and she demonstrates by blowing. So now we get into the backyard where Michael's helping everyone kind of set up the chairs or benches for the ceremony. When they introduce, Rainbow and Wind introduce themselves, Wayne's all like, oh yeah, and this is Butthead. Like, shut up, Wayne! So this is kind of fun. Kevin says, little by little, something cool started to happen. It's like we started to get drawn into Karen's world. And Jack's kind of helping set up the benches and everything like that. And Norma's sitting in a chair while a couple of Karen's friends are, like, kind of dressing up her hair, putting flowers in her hair and everything, making her look all extra pretty. Wayne, you are such a pervert. There's a woman there sitting up against a tree on the ground. And she's breastfeeding a baby. And he's, like, peeking around. Like, dude. Give her privacy. Stop being a perv. And Jack's actually, you know, he's taking part. He's helping setting up everything, the tables and everything. And this is just so cool. I mean, Jack is, you know, he's usually more reserved in everything and standoffish a little bit when it comes to people he doesn't know, it seems like sometimes. But no, I mean, this is his daughter. He wants to, you know, do right and make her happy for her big day. So I'm going to play this clip of Kevin and Karen. It's sweet. We really don't get many moments of them anymore because, you know, Karen's living away from home. They're older and everything. So this is a sweet brother-sister moment.
Hey. Still by around 4 o'clock.
Hey.
I was beginning to feel time running out.
It's a great party.
Yeah.
Okay, I'd never been real good at interpersonal dialogue with my sister. So I figured... approach this sensitively.
So when are you gonna tell him? Mom and Dad. About Alaska. I mean, what are you gonna do? Just send him a
that was the problem. Unfortunately, I did.
So Kevin asked Karen, like, hey, when are you going to tell him, you know, about Alaska? I mean, were you just going to send him a postcard with a polar bear on it? And, you know, Karen's like, no, I mean, we're going to tell him. I mean, but you know how mom and dad are. And Kevin's like, thinking to himself, like, yeah, I know how they are. Like, Kev, just let her do it, okay? You don't need to rush her or just say you got to do. But just let her, you know, she's going to be getting married. Just chill. Let her and Michael decide how they want to do this. And so the wedding's the day of the following day, and everyone's kind of sitting down to a, you could probably even call it like a rehearsal dinner, like the dinner the day before the wedding. That's what Jeremy and I had, because we were getting married at, you know, in the backyard at my dad's house, and, you know, the pastor was there, he just wanted to run through the ceremony, my sister was standing up for me, and Jeremy, of course, his best man was his brother, who flew down from Wyoming to come to the wedding, and I don't really, what did we have for dinner? It wasn't anything big, it's not like we had a lot of people there, just... You know, Jeremy's mom was there, Jeremy and I, Pam was there, Dad's girlfriend, and, you know, Nicole, and I don't think the it was mainly just us adults, so. And Jack is a little hesitant about the food. He's like, some stringy thing he's got on a fork, he's kind of looking at what it is, and Norma's like, oh, honey, this food is delicious, you'll have to give me the recipes. And Wayne is like, yep, the grub is great. As he eats something. It's like some type of flatbread. And when Norma mentions about, oh, you should get me the recipe sometime, Karen's kind of like, yeah, sure, Mom. So I'm going to play this clip.
That night we joined together to celebrate the next day's wedding. Sure, maybe it wasn't exactly the kind of bash my parents had in mind, but in its own funky way, it was classic.
The food is wonderful, Michael.
Oh, thanks, Mrs. Arnold.
Yep, the grub is great.
You have to teach me these recipes, honey. Sure.
Still, I couldn't help noticing the bride looked a little nervous.
Listen.
Excuse me, but I have something I have to say. You know, this has been a heck of a day. I mean, seeing the way you live, meeting your friends. I guess we never really had the time before. But I hope that can change now. You know, I don't know when you grew up, Karen. But we're very proud of the way you did. Michael, Norma and I both feel lucky that you're joining our family.
All in all, it may have been the best speech Dad ever made.
So, we have a little something to help you get started.
Okay. And that's when it happened. Of course, it all seemed innocent enough.
It's happening! Jack! Isn't that lovely?
And it was. A work of art. A creation of joy. Celebration. I think we all saw it at about the same moment.
Alaska or bust? Honey, what's that mean?
But Karen's face said it all.
I don't understand.
Still, it was pretty clear she did.
I
somehow...
Dad?
It was just too little. Too late.
So Jack stands up and he says one of the most beautiful speeches. I'm just starting to tear up a little thinking about it. He just looks at Karen and he says, you know, when did you grow up? You know, it just seems like, you know, and he just says, you know, we're proud of the woman that you've grown up to be. And, you know, Michael, we are so glad that you're joining our family. And he goes, Jack goes to, he also says that, you know, even though they haven't really seen a whole lot of each other and everything, you know, have their differences, but he's like hoping, you know, like, I hope that will be able to change. Like, hopefully we'll be able to see more of each other. And Jack goes to reach into his pocket to pull out the wedding gift, which is a check. That's when Karen and Michael's friends come out of the house with this ginormous cake, and it's really cool because it's got, like, sparklers on it, and they don't really think too much of it, like, oh, it's a cake, and Norma's like, oh, look at Jack, the you know, the sparklers, and then that's when they kind of read what's on the cake. It says, Alaska or bust, and there's, you egg on the cake, there is someone, like, made with the frosting the shape of the state of Alaska. Like, ah. So Jack and Norma are kind of confused, and Norma finally says, Alaska, what does that mean? Honey, what does that mean? And I think they finally, before Karen can really get to, because she starts to explain. And sadly, Norma just, you know, gets up and kind of goes into the house. Jack follows her, and it's just like, damn. Oh, this is sad. Guys, you couldn't have expected her to stay there forever. I mean, I'm sure they must have thought that, but it's just, for it to be so soon. No one wants to have their kids move far away from them.
I wasn't quite sure what to say. Except maybe.
Is there any ice cream in here?
If you guys need any help, I mean, with dishes or anything.
But hell, what did I have to offer? I couldn't fix this.
I didn't mean for you to find out this way.
When were you gonna tell us?
I don't know. Tonight? Spoil everything.
Karen, we're your parents. Don't you think we have a right to know?
Mom, it doesn't change anything. Michael and I have a life. You have to let us go.
In a way, it was a plea from a child who'd grown up and whose parents could never understand.
Stop you. But wherever you are,
Oh, God, I'm already starting to tear up a little bit. So, Norma pretty much goes to her go-to move is when she's upset. It seems like she always, like, gotta do the dishes, gotta do the dishes. Something, gotta keep my hands busy so I can keep my mind, you know, focused on something. And Jack's just kind of, you know, leaning against the counter there as she's doing that. Kevin comes in and, you know, Kevin, I kind of realized about him is that he always wants to try to be the one to, like, kind of fix things, make things better, you know, and stuff like that. So he's like, hey, do you guys need any help? And really, I think Norma and Jack just kind of want to have this time to be by themselves. Wayne, of course, comes in. He's like, oh, is there any ice cream in here? And he sits down at the table. He's like, God, boys, please, give your parents a little bit of space. They just got dumped with this information that just fell in their lap about their daughter moving to Alaska. That's got to be really, So, Wayne, of course, I mean, you know he can be a little insensitive to other people's, but whatever. He's oblivious. So that's when Karen comes in, and it's like, really, she didn't want him to find out that way. And Norma's a little upset. She's like, when were you going to tell us? And Karen's like, well, I was going to, I mean, tonight. And Norma's like, well, we're your parents. We have a right to know. And everything. And it's just, they're really broken up. They don't want to let her go. But Jack says to Norma, it's like, you know, I took you 1,000 miles away from your home. So, they don't want to let them go, but it's like, we gotta let you guys make your own choices and everything. And Karen just says, you know, Michael and I, we have a life together, and we're gonna build that life together. And it's just, this is so sweet. And just, they're getting choked up. And that's when Michael comes in and says, Karen, they're expecting us outside. So Karen, of course, turns to go with Michael. And the family just kind of letting that sink in. Like, yeah, this is going to be hard, but it's going to be an adjustment. But it's, you know, you don't want to let your kids go, but you gotta let them make their way out in the world, just like you did when you were their age. Now, Karen's got a good man there. He will help her and take care of her. They'll take care of each other.
My sister get married and welcome the new brother into my family.
Your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. You may house their bodies, but not their souls. For their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow. For life goes not backward, nor tarries with yesterday.
I watched my mother send her firstborn child out into the world and felt her sorrow and her joy.
And who brought Karen into being and now presents her to be united with Michael?
Her mother and I.
I watched my father give away his only girl. A stranger he hardly knew. I said goodbye myself.
Although they are separate, they will always be together.
Thank you.
all seems a little silly. But being there, in those passing moments, I saw that something real and important was happening. Not just for Michael and Karen, but for all of us. In our small and fragile, almost insignificant suburban family. After all, those were passionate times. Children were pioneers. On the road to find out, wherever that road might take them. When brothers and sisters, looking back, wish they'd known each other better.
What are you doing out here?
I don't know. Nice night?
Yeah.
Which way is Alaska, anyway?
That way. I think.
Sounds like a pretty good place, huh?
Filled with love and despair, held on to the past and kept a quiet vigil for the future.
So Karen and Michael get married the next day in the morning, and let me tell you, this is such a beautiful ceremony. It's outdoors, everything is just, there's flowers all over, you know, decorating the outdoors, all of their friends, their family's there. So Kevin goes out, you know, he said, you know, that day he watched his sister get married and he welcomed another brother into his life. And I like how they kind of include the family in the ceremony with Norma reading a passage from a book. And Kevin handing the rings and everything and saying about the rings and the people and everything becoming one. And then Michael and Karen saying their vows to each other and how they're all just kind of holding hands in a circle and everything. And then there's an outer circle of people that are also kind of holding hands and they're kind of swaying back and forth or they're kind of going in a circle and... I love how the clergyman, the man that's officiating the ceremony, says, you know, who gives this daughter away to this man? And Jack says, her mother and I do. Oh, and it's so beautiful how Karen, you know, kisses her mother on the cheek and her dad and everything. And she joins Michael. And, guys, this is such a beautiful ceremony. My eyes are still watering a little bit. So we see them, Karen and Michael, they're in the van. They have just married on the back end. Michael's motorcycle is up on one of those things that I guess like a trailer type thing. You know, and they drive away and the family's waving. The friends are all waving. And now we're back at the Arnold house. Jack's outside, and Kevin, I knew that they're back home because Kevin was wearing a gray hooded sweatshirt, and Jack's kind of like asking, Kevin, what are you doing out here? And Kevin's like, oh, just, it's a nice night, isn't it? And Kevin asks, where's Alaska? And Jack kind of points, like, to the left, like, that, down that way, and he's like, nice place, isn't it, Alaska? And just, that's how they close the episode. It's, guys, this episode was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. So for this episode, the Flower Power episode rating, I'm going to give this a 5 out of 5. I really, really liked it. I didn't have any real issues other than probably that whole thing with Wayne peeking around that tree at that mother breastfeeding her child. That was not needed. We know Wayne's a pervert. But the things I liked, Karen finally had had enough just saying, I want to do my wedding my way. And I like that Michael, I love Kevin and Michael's relationship, how he opened up to Kevin and say, hey, can you keep it secret? I got a job, it's in Alaska, and Kevin just kind of had to sit on that for a bit. And I love just the family, you know, Jack and Norma in the kitchen, and then, you know, Karen comes in and everything, and she just said, Alaska, you know, Michael's got a good job out there, and I know you don't want to, but you do have to let us go, and just, it was beautiful. The ceremony was amazing. I love that so, so much. And you know, just them driving away at the end, with, and then Kevin, you know, and Jack in the backyard, or the front yard, one of them, and just, you know, I loved when Jack put his arm around Kevin. Like, yeah, that Alaska's a good, that's a good place. Like, yeah, they're going to be all right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know she will be. It'll be all right. She'll be having a baby in the next summer. Or next fall. So, yeah. Wonderling Words of Wisdom. Everyone that's ever had a wedding knows how much detail there is involved. How much stress that is endured, especially if you're probably planning it by yourself. I was lucky enough, I had my sister, I had one of my teachers was nice enough to help with the flowers, and there might have been a couple mishaps at the wedding, as far as just, we had like the cake topper, the Precious Moments ceramic cake topper with the cake, the top part of it kind of tipped, so it broke, so I had to make a call to Hallmark. They didn't have the one that broke, but they did have a different one, and we still have it to this day. And that really was the only real mishap, other than they just lost the top half of the cake that had the, like, the little columns kind of holding it up. And of course, that Precious Moments cake topper was pretty heavy, so of course it's probably gonna weigh the cake down a little, and those little plastic pillars aren't gonna be able to support that weight. So yeah, it's not, I mean, it wasn't a big deal. I know Nicole, you know, she was outside on the back porch, and, you know, a couple people were around her, and I went out there, I'm like, what's going on? She's like, nothing. I'm like, what happened? She's like, well, the cake topper and the thing fell. I'm like, okay, let me take care of it. And, of course, one of my aunts like, oh, I can call. I'm like, no, just let me take care of this. So, yeah, just try to keep a cool head. If you can get people to help, just let them know, you know, this is your vision, what you want with your wedding and everything like that. So, yeah, that is my Wonderling Words of Wisdom. All right, I want to read this last quote, which you probably heard in the clip. All right, this is from Adult Kevin. As always, the narration is from Adult Kevin. The next morning, I watched my sister get married and welcomed a new brother into my family. I watched my mother send her firstborn child out into the world and felt her sorrow. I watched my father give away his only girl to a stranger he hardly knew. I said goodbye myself. Looking back, maybe it all seems a little silly, but being there in those passing moments, I saw that something real and important was happening, not just for Michael and Karen, but for all of us. In our small and fragile, almost insignificant suburban family. After all, those were passionate times when children were pioneers on the road to find out, wherever that road might take them. When brothers and sisters, looking back, wished they'd known each other better. And parents, filled with love and despair, held on to the past and kept a quiet vigil for the future. That is so beautiful. His narration, especially the end narration, when it kind of sums up the episode and everything, and just what he was thinking and feeling back then, beautiful, beautiful. And Daniel Stern, who does the narration for Adult Kevin, just, he knocked it out of the park every time, every episode. All right, let's say hey to some Wonderling listeners. St. Petersburg, Florida, Hillsdale, Michigan, Delhi, India, I'm sorry. Dublin, Ireland. Aston, Pennsylvania. Mountain View, California. Cibolo, Texas. Riverside, California. New York, New York. Wisconsin. Los Angeles, California. Bakersfield, California. Graysonville, Maryland. Lumberton, New Jersey. Albuquerque, New Mexico. Tokyo, Japan. Grand Rapids, Michigan. And Brooklyn, New York. All right, so what I talked to Jeremy, I said, this is what I want to do. This week I am finishing season 5. So later this week we'll get into season 5, episode 23, entitled Back to the Lake, which aired on May 6th, 1992. As summer begins, Kevin is dismayed that almost all the fun of previous summers is gone. All his friends are working summer jobs, and his dad wants him to do the same. Feeling that the world has turned on him, Kevin and Paul head back up to the lake, where Kevin hopes to find a girl he met at the lake a year earlier. But you're with Winnie now. Why do we need to do that? I mean, cool, we get to see Kara again, but, I mean, it's not like Kevin's single anymore. But she always seemed to offer some sage words of advice, I think. Also, the season 5 finale, season 5 episode 24, Broken Hearts and Burgers, which I think is going to be kind of like a flashback episode. This episode aired on May 13th, 1992. A misunderstanding at a burger joint causes Winnie to give Kevin the cold shoulder. Kevin tries to patch things up while remembering the moments that brought Winnie both closer and away from him. Yeah. So I take it she hears about the whole thing with Kara from the lake? Yeah. Alright, so here is my plan of how things are going to go forward. Season 6. Kevin's starting a new year. He's going to be a junior. Or is it a sophomore? He's going to be one of them. I think he's going to be a junior. Since it's a new school year, I've decided to hold off on Season 6. Start that in September. For August, guys, we are going to have a month of flashback episodes, which means these are the episodes I did not cover initially. I knew I would come back to them originally. So, we will have, from season 3, Math Class, which has the return of Mr. Collins. I mean, he's dead now, but this is a flashback episode. We also get to see Hobson. I'm sorry, guys. They have two different episodes in season 3. Math Class was the one I covered in the Back to School episode. I'm sorry. Math Class Squared is the one I actually meant. I'm sorry. The Pimple. This will be fun to cover. So, yes. The Pimple, Math Class Squared. Those are from season 3. I think that's pretty much it as far as season 3 goes. Those are the only two that I didn't do. The Journey from season 4, where the boys all want to go out to this slumber party. They want to go be a bunch of pervy peeping toms. So we have that. We have The Sixth Man, where Paul joins the basketball team. We have The Candidate, where we have Kevin pitted against Becky Slater for student council. Who's Aunt Rose? Hey, we get to see Grandpa Arnold again. Courage. This is the one where Kevin has to get a cavity filled. I have to get a cavity refilled from what I heard. Apparently fillings only last like 7 to 8 years. The one that was done, I don't know how the heck I broke a filling. I really don't. But I guess it was filled in 2010 or 11. It's like, make these things to last. I'm not going to pay $85 to have a damn hole in my tooth refilled. My God, that is ridiculous. I'm sure other people probably pay even more. But still, it's like, you fill that tooth, that tooth stays filled. Especially since that was only like 8 years ago or 7 years ago. I'm not having all these refilled within 8 years. That's a bunch of garbage. Sorry, guys. I didn't mean to go off on a fun little tangent about my, yeah. But that's pretty much it. Those are the episodes. A few from season 3, a few from season 4, and season 6 will start up in September, so it'll give you something to look forward to. Also, the Summer of Savage movie, When You Remember Me, will be later. That will be next week. I'll be working on that. And next month, and last Summer of Savage movie, the fourth movie, will be Wizard. I also want to get to Camp Cucamonga, which has Danica McKellar and Josh Saviano in it. Kind of like a last hurrah of summer. Also, for the Mr. Belvedere podcast, season 3 is going to be ending next week. I'm deciding to hold off on season 4 probably till maybe October. And then I'll probably maybe go back like through season 2 and 3 and just pick a couple other episodes that I want to do. Just so I was looking like, oh, this would be cute to cover. We'll see about seasons 5 and 6. I had to go on YouTube to get those. And they're not all the best quality. But then again, I'm not going through all of them. So season 5 and 6 of Mr. Belvedere will probably be scattered throughout 2019. As far as American Dreams goes, that one's going to be touch and go from now on. I just have so many other things. Punky Brewster's wrapping up this month. And it's just, I put too much on my plate, pretty much, so. But anyway, look forward to some flashback episodes. Like I said, Becky Slater, Mr. Collins, Doug, Grandpa Arnold. So, yeah, I think it's going to be fun. I really think it's going to be fun. So, that being said, everyone have a wonderful Tuesday afternoon, and I hope you... I know I complain about the heat, but guys, in a few months, this weather is going to be gone. We are going to be in October, like mid-October, which there's nothing wrong with October, but you know it starts to get cooler out, so. But, okay. I'll see you later this week with the last two episodes of Season 5 of The Wonder Years. Bye-bye. Thank you.